Hello and welcome to Talks. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Steph. And today we're talking about Adrian.
Now, before we get into this week's episode, we really just wanted to come on here and give everybody a big thank you. Thank you so much for listening and tuning into our podcast. We really do appreciate it. This has been kind of a new foray for us, a bit of an experiment, and we're so glad that you've decided to come along this journey with us. It's been a blast. We've had a lot of fun so far. We've learned a lot, and we're looking forward to, you know, things that are up ahead. With that being said, we do have a couple of changes around these parts that you may have noticed recently. So we've decided to go to about an every other week in podcast posting. So for a while we were doing podcasts every single week, and we noticed that it was kind of hard to stick to that. We would go a week without posting. We'd miss weeks a lot. So this works a lot better for our schedules these days. Things have been kind of busy, so having an every other week posting schedule for these podcasts will be very helpful for us. So we won't have to stress Stephanie out too much more anymore. So yeah, I'm glad about that. Also, just a quick plug. We've got some really exciting things ahead in the future, and some ideas for some really fun discussions for this podcast coming forward. So we do encourage you to stick around. We've at least got a few more episodes left in this season of Talks with Adrian and Steph. So we want to thank you so much for sticking around and encourage you to finish this thing out with us. Exciting things ahead. That's all I'll say on that. But for now, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
So Adrian just celebrated his 30th birthday over the weekend, and we thought it would be a great idea to, you know, sit down and get to know him a little better. And we have divided this episode into two parts because, you know, 30 years is a long time to fit into one episode. So recently we had a little chit chat, and this is how it went. So, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am good.
Good to see you today. You're looking quite chipper.
I should be looking quite chipper because I get to see your face.
You've been looking at it for a long time when we were setting up this podcast. So
that is true, but I wasn't paying attention to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were too busy. too busy attacking me.
No, I was too busy.
You were too busy ridiculing
sure.
me, criticizing me.
No, I was just a little busy trying to set up this whole thing, trying to get, you know. But okay, I just want to get to know you a little better. After 4.5 years, I still think that there's a lot more we can get to know about you.
Jeez, at this point, I don't know. you probably know pretty much everything, right?
Yeah, but, you know, not being able to be with you kind of makes me lose out on getting to hear stories from your family about you growing up, you as a teenager. Like, we want to know. Me and the listeners want to know.
They want to know about
how
the man
rebellious
behind the
mask. You were. Yeah, how rebellious you were. Were you a naughty kid? Were you a nerdy kid? We want to know, like, everything about you. So let's go back. I was going to say 30 years, but you're
30,
not yet 30.
Geez, you want me to get into the fetal stage when I was floating around in that sack
30.
Of liquid?
Ew. Why? Every podcast episode, I'm going to make a montage of me just going, ew, because every podcast episode, you say something, and I literally go, ew.
That's my job. That's my job in life. Yeah, I think though that there could be some things that the listeners don't know either. So maybe there'll be a couple of things you already know about. But for the sake of, you know, the listeners, you never know what you might uncover. So You definitely want to hear this, huh?
So let's start up with, where did you grow up? I know that you grew up in Louisiana, but tell us more about where you were born, where you grew up.
Yeah, so I all my life lived in Louisiana, born and raised, right? Born and raised here, Louisiana to the bone. I love Louisiana. I've traveled to a bunch of other places too, but Louisiana is definitely home, and it's always great coming back from wherever I come from, you know. But I was born in a little town called Mamou, Louisiana, and a lot of people don't know about it, but if you're from like South Louisiana, you've probably heard of it because there's a big Mardi Gras tradition there. That's kind of its claim to fame. There's like the old style, old school, traditional like Mardi Gras. That's how people know about Mamou.
What's the tradition?
Okay. So the tradition, like a traditional Mardi Gras in Mamou. So what you do is everybody dresses up in their real crazy Mardi Gras mask. They have like these full suits that are like super brightly colored and such. And so there'll be like people on horseback. Some people will be like playing music while on the horses and kind of like a parade through the town. And so what you're supposed to do is you stop at everyone's house. And the traditional way is someone comes out and they give some food, right? They give some food to the parade and then they join in the parade. They go to the next person and they add food. And it's like this procession where everybody's adding food. And then later on, they're going to throw it all together, make a big gumbo, have kind of a big meal and all like just celebrate together. And
we got to do a different segment of just about like what's Mardi Gras, what's gumbo.
Right. Louisiana, you know, culture. People,
huh? Yeah.
It's a really cool tradition. I haven't been able to go to one, but I've seen a lot of it. I know a bunch of people who go every year and such, but we'll have to check it out for sure sometime, but it's a really cool celebration. But that's what Mamou's known for. And the other thing is that, there's just a bunch of crawfish farms out there. That's really about it. There's crawfish farms and there's a hospital. And that hospital is where I was born. So that's where it is.
So this was in the year 1991.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right at the beginning of the 90s. So I am a 90s kid for sure. 1991. Growing up in Louisiana.
So how many years did you stay in Mamou? Or did you stay in another city in Louisiana?
Well, we lived right outside of Mamou. It was like within 20 minutes drive, little rural area right out there. Turkey Creek, Lake Cove area. It's very, very small, very simple. You know, it's one of those like small towns, everybody knows everybody kind of thing. But I was only there for a couple of years, and then eventually like moved away to where my grandparents stay, which is North Louisiana.
Okay, so how old were you when you kind of moved out of, let's say, Mamou? Because I'm not going to remember the other city names.
I think it was around like 2 years old. So I don't really remember anything from that time, of course. I mostly remember like growing up in northeast Louisiana, I guess about 30 to 40 minutes from the Mississippi border, a little town called Rayville. It's actually Bee Bayou. Which is even smaller. It's like a small area outside of the small town. Out there, it's all cotton fields and really rural farming, a lot of like agricultural stuff. So that's where I mostly remember growing up. We stayed there with my grandparents till I was about 8 or 9, somewhere in there.
So do you know why your parents moved up there? Or was it just like, oh, we'd be closer to... They were your mom's parents, right?
Yeah. It was my mom's parents. Yeah. So, my mom and my dad. So when I was around 2 years old or so, they split up and ended up getting a divorce and such. Things just didn't work out, in that situation. But, because of that, yeah, I went with my mom and we moved to, Rayville. And, I say Rayville, it's really Bee Bayou, but Rayville is kind of the bigger area. We lived up there, so I spent a lot of time with my grandma and grandpa. My grandpa was a really hard worker, and was also, I remember he's super like financially savvy and thrifty. Like some people would say cheap, I say thrifty. But he taught me a lot about like, you know, saving my money, and they would give me an allowance. I remember it was $5 a week, and I would get that allowance and I'd want to go spend it. Every single time. As soon as I got it, I'd be wanting to go to Walmart to buy like a little Transformers like action figure or something, blow it as soon as possible. But one of his big things was to like was to save, you know, to give and to save, you know. So those are things that they try to teach me with that.
So growing up was like your grandpa like your father figure because your parents split at that point, or did you have a good relationship with your dad growing up?
When I was really young, yeah, it pretty much was just my grandpa. A little bit later on, me and my dad reconnected and we kind of talked things out, you know, and really kind of built some things, you know, kind of laid foundation work. But it was a good bit later. Early on, I guess I didn't really just understand everything that was going on. I didn't really understand why I had a whole side of the family that I didn't really know. I didn't really think too much about it, I guess. Probably just because I was always around family from this side, so I didn't consider it much. So when I got to like meeting other sides of the family, it was kind of like strange, you know. I don't know if you know, but it was kind of strange, you know, trying to like just when you're meeting someone who is literally like your cousin or like your aunt or your uncle, and it's like you're meeting them and it's like years into your life, it's kind of strange because you're like, oh well, what happened, you know, like where like I don't really know how to say it, you know what I mean, like how
it's like it, because you're not used to that side, you know, just one family, right? It's like, right, you're trying to add everybody in to make a family that you never knew about,
right? But it's also a thing of like, well, why hasn't this happened already? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like it seems like, so I've always had these other people, but why haven't I had these people, you know? And as a kid, you kind of like, I don't know, you kind of grapple with it, like, of like, you know, why weren't they there for my, you know, 12th birthday? You know, like these other people have always been there. And, as you get older, you more understand of like, you know, why, you know, and, you know, relationships take time and they take effort, and you can't just, even though like, you know, they're your family and like, you know them and they love you, you love them and all this stuff. Relationships do take time to develop and to get to know people and such. So I'm grateful now that I'm in a place where, I can call up any of my family and, you know, they'll have my back and, you know, they love me, they support me and I love them. But early on as a kid, it was a bit of a struggle, I guess, just understanding it, you know?
So how old were you when you reconnected with your dad and that side of the family? Was it like early teens? Were you already like settled into your life? You know, like when you're 13 and stuff, you're still finding yourself, so it's easier to integrate with the family. Or were you like your own person, like you're an adult and that's when you reconnected?
Yeah, well, we did stuff together kind of off and on here and there growing up. Like I remember really around like, you know, 10, 11, 12, around those ages. Really after, I mostly remember after my mom and stepdad got back together. I mean, got together. And we moved back down south to this area called Sulphur, Louisiana. It's right outside of Lake Charles, about 30 minutes from Texas, you know, really close. When we moved down there, you know, it was a little bit closer, to my dad and my stepmom. So, you know, a little more connecting, you know, we talked a bit more, did a couple of things on the weekends and stuff. But as a kid, you know, a 12-year-old, 13 in those years, it's really like, I don't know. It was really, I just didn't quite understand it. You know, I don't know, it's because I didn't want to understand. I didn't want to think about it. I don't know, but I really did struggle with that for a bit. But we really reconnected, I would say, my senior year of high school, around my graduation time, you know, of just wanting to, hey, you know, be involved in life. I had a new sibling on the way. So I definitely wanted to be a part of their lives and such. So I now have these two more siblings. So They're the youngest of the family.
Were you ever angry at your dad for what happened? I mean, obviously, I don't want to get into mm-hmm. everything about what happened with your parents, but were you ever angry at your dad for not being there and everything that happened and stuff?
I think I was more angry at the adjustment of like trying to have someone else like come into your life, you know what I mean? This was earlier on, probably 12, 13, around those, that time somewhere. Having someone just try to come into your life that almost seems like all of a sudden, although it really wasn't, and just not really wanting that to happen at the time, mostly because I didn't understand it or didn't really feel why. I don't know. I just had like a lot of questions and I didn't even know I had questions. It was something I didn't really think a lot about. And looking back, I kind of didn't want to think about it, if that makes sense. Like, I just wanted to push it out of my mind, not worry about anything, almost forget, right, that this is part of me. But that doesn't work. You can't do that.
Did you ever feel kind of like the odd one out, like in school and stuff? Because, I mean, how old were you when your mom and stepdad got married?
I believe, what was that, 9? I think it was around 9. Maybe off a year or so, either way. But I think I was around 9. At first, I did feel weird. Like, oh, my parents were divorced or whatever. I'm from a broken home. All these things people say, you know. But as I grew older, I started to realize that probably the majority of us have parents who split. So I realized I wasn't very special and that the world wasn't against me or anything. It was just kind of matter of reality, you know, it's just a fact of life. So,
but do you think that, do you think your life would have turned out very different if your parents had stayed together?
Oh, for sure.
Like
for
in
sure.
A good way or a bad way, like, do you think it would have been
different? I mean,
would it be a place that you wanted to be, basically, is my question.
I mean, I can't say definitively, oh, yes, this XYZ would happen, you know, blah, blah, blah. I do think that things work out for the best. I do think that, you know, that's biblical, you know, all things work for the good, you know? And so that is something that I hold close, and that I think these things happen for a reason. I will say that if I had stayed down there, I don't think you and I would have ever met. It's a long chain of events that led us to kind of, to be together or whatever. So I don't think that would have happened. I think my life would be a lot different for sure. I don't know if I would have ended up in northwest Louisiana, working here and going to school here and such. So I probably would have ended up somewhere else doing school, probably down south. So I think life still would have been okay, but I don't think it would look a lot like it does right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And we've talked a lot about this. I mean, when you're together 4.5 years, you talk literally about everything and anything. And family is always very important. So you have half brothers and sisters. And
yeah, I have let me count them. I have five total. So 3 brothers and 2 sisters.
So, and you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest, yeah.
Right? And there's a significant age difference.
Yeah, I have a couple who are in their 20s, and then one who's about to be 20. And then the other two are way young, like single digits young. So,
so this is my question, right? When you found out that you were going to have brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. how did that change your life? Because obviously, first it was your 2 brothers, Brock and Jared, mm-hmm. from your mom and stepdad. And you obviously lived with your mom and stepdad at that mm-hmm. point. So what did you feel about like having siblings? Did it ever feel like, oh, we are not actually brothers mm-hmm. because, you know, different dads? Or were you very happy to have siblings?
No, from the get-go, it never was a, oh, this are your kids and these are my kids kind of thing. My stepdad was really good at, like I was never like saying or even like acting like I was ever a burden or anything extra or whatever. Like I was part of the deal, basically. So they did a great job at never like, never letting me feel like outcast or something different or whatever. We never called each other stepbrother or, you know, stepsister or anything like that. We're brothers, we're siblings. And even today, you know, like they're all my siblings, you know, they're not anything half or anything less or anything step, you know, no halves, no, I guess they're not steps, they're halves. I don't have any steps. They're all halves technically. But they're all just my siblings, you know, and I think it looks a little different between us, you know, like I've spent more time with Brock and Jared, which are the, my stepdad and mom's, just cause growing up, you know, I helped take care of Brock and Jared both. I changed some diapers, you know, and watched them and babysat a good bit. So I've spent more of those formative years with them. You know, the two youngest ones, our relationship's a little bit different. It's a big brother kind of situation, which it was with the other two, but these two, it's like big brother enough to like, I could be their parent. You know what I mean? Like that's the age gap. So, it's a little different vibe there, but it's really cool. I like them a lot. They're a lot of fun when they come over. We really just end up playing Fortnite for hours and hours together. We get a trio going and we play lots
of games.
I know
that Brock and Jared usually turn to you for advice, and you know they're always like, I mean, I've talked to them. We've had a lot of FaceTime and stuff, and they really look up to you in the sense of like you're their brother. If nobody knew that, you know, your mom and stepdad's kids, there were like, nobody would say like, oh, they're half siblings, because the way you guys act and stuff. And I've seen your younger two siblings too, and they just think it's cool to have someone old enough to drive them around, you know, and have
their own
house.
But they look
a
lot more like me though. Brock and Jerry, yeah. They look nothing like me. Like I'm way darker. I'm browner than them, dark hair and everything, and they're like snowy white and the the shiny blonde hair and stuff. So I favor much more with the younger ones. So like so much so that like if I take them out, like if we go to the store or something while they're with me, people just assume they're my kids, because they look so much like me. Like literally, Grayson, one of the younger ones, he literally looks like me as a kid. Like if you pull up my pictures, like he looks just like me. It's kind of scary.
That's how your kid, not yours, our kids are going to look. I literally said yours as it came out.
Well, yeah, but maybe. I mean, they might just look super Asian too. You never know.
You never know.
You have those strong genes, so.
I do. I have both strong genes. Mm-hmm. Indonesian and Indian, so
we're gonna have it's gonna be Indian, Indonesian, and French.
Oh yeah, you French. Have to tell them why you said French now.
Yeah, because Louisiana, people who don't know, is a very there was a lot of French immigration that happened, and like Canadian French too. So there's a lot of French speakers in South Louisiana. So that all comes from there. So like Nova Scotia area, and then France. So there's a lot of that in my bloodline hanging out.
So coming back to family and mm-hmm. all of that. So, you moved from Sulphur for college to a different city, Shreveport, which for the longest time I used to say Shreveport,
yeah,
and Adrian had to correct me.
A lot of people do, especially telemarketers.
Really?
So you get it naturally. It comes naturally. I mean, you're right.
No, but the way it's spelled.
So,
but the way it's spelled.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say Shreveport, anyways.
Right.
So
it comes from this pirate guy, Captain Shreve.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
No, it doesn't. That's Cap.
No, there's like Shreveport history. It's a port, right? And it's named after Captain Shreve. There's literally Captain Shreve High School here. There's tons of like Captain Shreve like Drive and stuff. It was a major port city on the river here. So it was like a lot of shipping came through and stuff.
Wow.
Yep.
See, we all learned something.
Yeah, Shreveport used to be a big deal once upon a time. Now it's just kind of...
Now it's just there.
I'll throw some shade at my place. Never mind, I won't make those jokes. They involved guns.
So, let's talk about college. How was it moving out from the safety and comfort of your family to a whole different city? So had you ever been out, like, had you ever been to Shreveport? Did you know anybody in Shreveport? What made you want to go to Shreveport? Let's start with that.
Well, I guess I'll say that, like, I never, like, growing up, we went back and forth a lot between, like, Sulphur and my grandparents' place. And just kind of all over. We have family all over the state, so we were just kind of all over the place a bit, including every now and then my cousin's house, my aunt and uncle. They lived up in here in the Shreveport area, so northwest Louisiana. So we would spend a little bit of time up there, over at my grandparents' house, back to Sulphur, you know, kind of all over. I never really, like, growing up, I didn't really have this connection to, like, one specific place. Like, I mean, Sulphur was home, you know, it's where we lived and where a lot of our family was, but we have family all over the state, so every place kind of felt a little bit like home. So I never was, like, super attached to just, like, it has to be one specific place. But I also really like to travel. I've always been interested in, like, even as a kid, like, reading up on, like, different places, you know, different countries, different states, just different areas and things, and, like, kind of exploring. I've always been kind of an adventure-driven kid, I guess. So I was kind of eager to, you know, leave home a little bit and strike out on my own and see what was to come. But throughout like my high school, you know, you always have these people who are like, all right, so what you gonna do when you graduate? You gonna go to college? You gonna do this? What kind of job you wanna be? How you gonna make money? Blah 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 blah. And then so you always have like these different people like kind of putting bugs in your ear, like, you should try this, you should do this, you go here, they make a lot of money. And so throughout, like, when I was younger, I really wanted to be like an astronaut, you know, I mean, every kid basically, although now they all want to be like YouTube stars. But, back then,
not Indian
once upon
kids,
a time,
you can't say Indian kids had only three options.
What?
Doctors, lawyers, or engineers. I mean, we're laughing about this, but I am telling you, when I was in school, this was it, right?
Yeah.
Most of the girls would say, I want to be a teacher or a doctor. And most of the guys would say, I want to be a doctor, engineer. Sometimes you'd get the random, oh, I want to be a lawyer or a businessman. But, like, growing up in school, that's all I heard.
Yeah.
So when you say, oh, kids wanted to be astronauts, not really. It depends on which part
of the world
you are.
I mean, here they did. Well, that's because, like,
it's really cool.
India hasn't, like, necessarily pushed out their space program internationally, have they? I mean, it's there, and they are doing some cool things, especially now, like, here recently. But, I mean, NASA is huge. That's, like, and it's been so big in our media growing up. I mean, landing people on the moon, you know, and talking about colonizing Mars and all this stuff. Like, it's very interesting things as a kid. You know, I was super interested in space and, like, the weather and, like, meteorology and those things. So I kicked back and forth on, like, meteorology, going to school to be, like, a weatherman or just to study the weather. But eventually didn't do that. I was a big guitarist. I really loved playing music and such. I was this close to enrolling to major in jazz guitar performance, to learn some jazz guitar music theory stuff. But I did not do that because that does not pay the bills very well, if you knew.
But it gets the girls.
It does get the girls, but less so than you'd think. You'd think it would get the girls, but it doesn't really get the girls you're looking for necessarily.
So how old were you when you're like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. Oh, I want to get into a music program. Oh, astronauts
like middle school or something, you know? Like,
okay.
Like that's like in elementary school. That's like way back there. So that wasn't really like a serious thing. Like meteorology and then like musicianship was a more serious thing. But then I decided, you know, I wanted to, I don't know, people talked about things that make money and I was like, oh, you know what makes money? Pharmacy. I'm gonna try to go to pharmacy school and become a pharmacist. And, so that's what I ended up trying to do when I graduated. I went to a school up here in Shreveport, left home to start out my pre-pharmacy bachelor's degree in like biochemistry. And so I started that out. And then got to my first chemistry class and had a D in it and dropped the class and immediately changed majors.
So
semester one.
Hold on. So you gave up on being a pharmacist because you got a D in your chemistry class?
Well, that and the fact that I literally hated every second and every part of the studies, the career path, everything about it, I just hated. I just convinced myself because it's worth a lot of money, which there's probably people listening to us now who are in a job and they've literally, that's their thing. They just did it because it's worth and you can make money in it, you know?
So
no shame in that.
So how did you decide what major you wanted to switch to?
And
also what major did you switch to?
I actually didn't change majors until my second semester. Now that I think about it, it was during my second semester. So of course in our schools, in our bachelor's, you have to do a lot of general education requirements. So you have to do, sciences, histories, English, math, you have to do kind of your general basics and then you move into your, really specialized courses. And I had never like really in high school, we didn't really write many papers or anything like that. But in college, I had to learn very quickly how to write a paper because that's the bulk of what college is. They're just like paper, 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 paper all the time. So in my English class, you know, it was pretty tough early on, but I really liked it. And then in my second one, it was English literature. So the first one was like composition and then this one was literature. And so I just really kind of fell in love with like writing and I guess thinking like deeply about like these topics and stuff. So I changed my major over to English and that was a lot of fun, you know?
So were you, I was going to say good in English, but were you like a really good student in school, like in English or like there would have been some kind of motivation like in high school to be like, oh, I'm pretty good at writing or I'm pretty good at, you know, literature, remembering all these stuff. I like Shakespeare.
Well, like the thing.
So unconvincingly.
The thing is, like, I changed my major to English based on the idea that I enjoyed going to English classes with no concept of what I really wanted to do with an English degree, with no concept of, like, oh, here's my plan for the next 4 years. You know, here's what I want to do. I don't want to be taking classes, which when you're first starting college, 4 years seems like forever. It seems like you're never going to finish school. And then you're so busy, you know, going through it. All you can really think about is just finishing the next class, you know, finishing the next week, you know, passing this exam. That's really all you can think about. So kind of talked to some instructors, you know, kind of did a little research on my own and stuff. And I was trying to really think about, especially like about a year and a half in after I changed my major, I was like, you know, what's my actual end goal here? What am I doing other than just getting a degree? Growing up, people said, just go get a degree. You got to go to college. They didn't really say like, hey, what's your plan? How are you going to monetize, you know, your college degree? I don't know, you had to monetize your college degree. I thought you just go get a degree and then you get money. Like, you know, that's how it works.
I think, you know, I also think that our generation was influenced by like our parents, mm-hmm. whose goal was to make money, enough money to support your family. And that was it. Whether you like your job, you don't. But I think like now the next generation, because we are now becoming parents, we understand that you don't just need to sit at a 9-to-5 job. You can actually like your job. You can make, you know, spaces in these work environments and stuff to make money out of what you're learning and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of like just shift in perspective of why you need a degree and kind of work things and work opportunities that can come ahead. And I know a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people now who are growing up, who just graduated high school in the past couple of years, some of them don't even want to do a degree because they're like, that's not what I want, or that's not, that won't be beneficial for me because you're just wasting money if you're not going to use that degree.
Right. Well, like once upon a time, at least here, I don't know how it is there, but once upon a time, you could just go to college and pretty much be insured that after you get your bachelor's degree, you're going to have a pretty swanky job afterwards. That's not the case anymore. Everybody has a college degree in our age group, it seems like. So much so that positions that often require a college degree, there's a lot of competition for them. Where a trade position, where maybe you go to a trade school, work and go to school at the same time, you know, there's a lot of openings for those and not a lot of people to fill them because everybody wants their bachelor's degree job. And it's not really something that I was told that I know of. Maybe I should have been researching it for myself, but how do you research something you have no concept of? I was the first one in my immediate family to go to college. So it was kind of a learning experience for all of us. So we kind of just figured it out as we went. But I was really lucky to have some instructors, some professors in school who kind of guided me along the process a little bit and were always kind of like nudging me to, you know, do more, to do better and to, you know, to do well, I guess, not necessarily do better. But they were really influential in my, I guess my early formation of adulthood. The thing I struggled with though was like how to monetize my degree, you know, cause I knew that. So I didn't make this connection until much later, but like for English majors in particular, like that they're like an English degree is oftentimes on the top of the list of like those articles that are like degrees not to get if you want to make money, you know, they're often right there, you know, right next to the freaking art, fine art class, right? Fine arts major. They're right there neck and neck. But both of those things, I mean, it applies both ways. Like we're in an internet like economy now, you know, like the internet runs everything and there's so much content on the internet and companies and places need people to make content. And there's so much there to be able to monetize that English degree. I just never made that connection. You know what I mean? And it took forever. I went back and forth. I switched my major to like English education, went back to English because I literally hated everything about teaching. shout out to the teachers out there, man, you go right ahead. But yeah, it didn't click with me. So I ended up just sticking with English and graduated, did well. My classmates went off to do amazing things. I'm sure some of them, some moved away and joined like publishing companies and became editors for like magazines and stuff, and some stayed in Shreveport, and who knows what they're doing right now, things that people do in Shreveport, I guess, working at Barnes & Noble. I don't know what else there is to do.
Ouch, you know?
No, nothing wrong with working at Barnes & Noble, but like that's where all the English majors would end up, would be Barnes & Noble, and I'm like, bro, come on, we can do this.
Oh gosh, I am sorry for everyone who works at Barnes & Noble.
No, it's all good. Barnes & Noble is a great place. I love it. But it's going back to my point about like we go and spend all this money on this thing and it doesn't guarantee us that we're going to get, you know, this high paying career out of it, you know?
So I just want to like take a pause talking about college and and you moving away. Going back to that, how difficult or how easy was it to move from high school to college, because you didn't do regular schooling, right?
Right, right. Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. I freaking loved it. So throughout school, I was kind of, technically it was homeschool, but it's like I would explain like a homeschool co-op, like a really small school, a private school, I guess you could say. But it's really like a group of homeschoolers all working together in the same space. So you have like your own desk and your own like workspaces and stuff, and you're learning with other kids, but it's still kind of homeschool. So I didn't go to like a traditional like public school with like lots of people, lots of classes and such. So when I got to freshman year in college, and my university wasn't like a huge university or anything, but it was like this exciting new place, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many cool things, so many exciting people, and all these classes to go to. It was just a lot of fun.
More than five people.
But I remember we had to go to like a freshman counselor, like a one-on-one sit down, people who would like check in and be like, hey, how are things going? And that was always a big topic with us, was like, hey, how's the transition going from like small school to here? And I was like, oh, that's awesome. It's great. I love it. It's fine. So I had hardly any issues like adjusting to that. It was glorious. It was nice getting to go and sit inside of like the cafeteria area and get cheese fries every other day and hang out with my cousin in random classmates.
So were you like did you become like a wild child, a party animal when you got to college? Or were you like, was it still like, you know, when you come from like in India, I can just explain this, when I went to college and stuff, but people who would come from smaller towns, mm-hmm. they'd always say like they had like this little angel, devil, whatever you want to say, on their shoulder, or like I remember one girl said, it's like I have my mom constantly on my shoulder, yeah. constantly telling me, oh, I wouldn't do that kind of thing. And so like she said, for the first year, it took her so long to kind of break out of that shell. Like she's no longer in a small town. She doesn't have to be like this quiet, shy kid. So she just went wild second semester. Like, whoa, where did that come from? So that's what I wanted to know. Like when you came from a small town to get all this like freedom and all these people, like did you just suddenly go like, wah?
Well, one thing with this, no, I didn't go off the rails. I didn't go off the deep end. I knew a lot of people who definitely did, but I didn't. That was never my vibe. But I will say that I wasn't 100% like on my own, just doing my own thing. When I moved up here, I was living with my aunt and uncle, and two cousins. So, my one cousin, he's 3 months older than me. We grew up together, did everything together. So basically like brothers. And then his younger brother, also like my little bro, just the same, you know, we all grew up together and stuff. So he and I were going to the same school. We were having like a lot of the same classes. So we carpooled all the time. We were like eating lunch every day all the time. And, you know, we pretty much did everything together all the time. In those days, we had a lot more freedom. You know, if we're taking, you know, five classes, we don't have to go every single day. You know, we may have 2 days a week where we only have like one or two classes. So we had all this free time. So what we would do, going off the rails and such, we would have our 8 o'clock class in the morning, 8 a.m. class in the morning. We lived about 40 minutes away, so it's a pretty long drive. So we would literally just end up staying up till like 4 or 5 in the morning, playing like Call of Duty on PlayStation, and like all these games, staying up till like 4 or 5 in the morning, sleeping for like 2 hours, and then driving to class. And we did that so much one semester. And it probably killed a bunch
those
of our brain cells.
Those were the days.
Yeah, well, I can't do that now,
those were the days.
Yeah, it was
where we could run on 2 hours of sleep.
Yep, and barely function. That was rough, man. But that's about as wild as it got. It was really like this, being able to having all this time and being able to do whatever I wanted with it. You know, that was the go wild portion for me. It was just staying up late.
And I guess it was a lot more fun because you had like your best friend with you in this like phase right. of life, this new chapter in life kind of thing.
Right, definitely. That definitely helped.
So I think everybody wants to get to the juicy parts about you, right? These were like, okay, growing up and all of that happened.
I thought that was the juicy stuff. We were getting pretty juicy there.
No, the juicy questions now we need to get into. So we need to know. Not we need to know. Like, I know this, but we I collectively
think this is all stuff that you're just wanting to know about, huh? And you finally have the opportunity to
I
ask.
Already know it. Oh. But it's fun to ask again.
You never know.
And
you
make
might
you
find,
all embarrassed and
you never
weird
know. You might
about
find
it.
Out something else, something you didn't really want to know.
Okay, juicy questions. This is going to be rapid.
I don't even,
like
juicy
just
questions.
A rapid questions, okay?
Okay. So you, I have no idea what these juicy
no,
questions
yeah,
are.
Yeah, no
what
explanation. No explanation, and you need to just say whatever comes to your mind, okay? And
okay.
If we need to talk about it, we'll pause and talk, but there is no explanation. You just go right to it, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. How old were you when you had your first girlfriend?
17?
You have
16?
To do the math because you're that old.
I think it was 16. Yeah, I think it was 16.
Okay. Who was the first person you said I love you to?
My first girlfriend.
How old were you when you had your first kiss?
Like 16. Maybe I was 17 by then. I think I might have been 17 by then. But I think
What's
we started
craziest-
dating around that birthday time.
What's the craziest thing you have done in a relationship? Ours cannot, you cannot count ours. So anyone before us,
craziest?
What's the craziest
thing? What do you mean
thing?
Crazy? What is crazy?
Something that you now look back and you're like, man, I can't believe I did that. I know the answer to this. I just want to know what you say. Yeah.
It's probably things we've talked about in this podcast before.
No, we haven't talked about this. It's just that we've been dating for 4 years. And a half years, babe. We've talked about a lot of things.
I don't even know.
And I've got a good
memory.
What's
the craziest thing that I've done in a relationship?
Okay, how about... Yeah, I think it would be crazy. Like, driving all the way to Shreveport over the weekend just because your girlfriend asked you to come
there. That was the thing that came to mind first, was...
But it is the craziest thing. Like, you wouldn't do it now.
Oh, no. No, I would drive literally 3.5 hours, like... on a whim, just because she was like, oh, you need to come up here. If you don't come up here, blah, 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 you know. I'll never forgive you. All this stuff. It's like, nah, bro, cut that off. Get that
to
out of there.
To be young and in love.
Dumb and stupid is what I am. Or at least what I was. I hope I'm not still dumb like that.
I mean, you flew halfway across the world to ask someone out.
I'm freaking... there's no hope for me. What the heck? All these years, and I'm still... I'm like, no, it's not enough 3.5 hours. I gotta fly 18 hours. Who? What's wrong with me, bro? I'm like, gosh. Man, there's
but
no
I
hope
love
for
you.
Me. There's no hope for me. I'm a hopeless cause. Lost cause.
But I love you.
You better... You
no,
better.
The
oh,
reply is supposed to be, I love you too.
No, I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm questioning. I mean, I'm a simp. I'm such a simp, bro. I'm a simp.
Everybody.
It's decided. I am a simp.
It's not a simp.
I'm
it's
a simp.
You know that this person is worth it. You're not just going to do it for anybody, but you're going to do it for somebody who's worth it.
Okay.
Please say yes.
Yes.
Please say yes.
You're worth it. Oh, you're gosh. Worth it. Maybe it's Maybelline. Okay. L'Oreal. Because you're worth it.
Okay, okay. We're going back to rapid fire. We took a turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Cookies and cream.
Favorite pizza topping?
There's so many good ones. Canadian bacon or ham.
Okay. Oh, you don't like pepperoni. I was like, why didn't
I
you
mean,
say pepperoni?
I mean, pepperoni's okay, but it's so greasy, bro.
Okay.
That.
One food that you hate.
Mayonnaise.
Your favorite go-to coffee order.
Double shot espresso with a little steamed milk. It's like an espresso macchiato, I guess. Not that Starbucks
Sounds
macchiato.
Good.
Get that garbage out of here. An espresso macchiato, please.
Something that you love doing on the weekend.
Sleeping on the couch, or like lying on the couch, or thrifting.
Oh, I thought you would camping. Say camping.
Camping, thrifting, lying on the couch, playing a game. Those are my go-to things.
Your perfect date.
You.
Aw, but I meant like an actual date. Like not me as a person.
Perfect date is like going outside somewhere, like a picnic or something at the park, or camping, and then later on just going home and like watching a movie on Netflix or something. I'm simple. I'm a simple man.
I like that.
Low cost.
Favorite band or musician of all time?
This small like post-hardcore like emo kind of band. They're called S Cities Burn, and no one probably knows them. If you know them, please write into the show. I would love to hear how you found them. They're great.
Favorite song of all time?
I have no favorite song. I can't choose one.
How about a favorite song from As Cities Burn?
I don't know. It's so good. It's all good. How can you choose a favorite song? I don't get that question. So people always ask, like, what's your favorite song? And I'm like, no, bro, there's like literally millions of songs in the world. You haven't listened to them all. Like, how can you choose one song that's your favorite?
But it can change over time. Change,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's fine if it changes. Like you say, like up until now, this is a song that I really like and I would hear on repeat. Nah, doesn't mean like in 10 years it's going to be the same song.
Nah, I think if it's your favorite song, it's got to have staying power. If it's your favorite song now, it needs to be your favorite song in 20 years. Otherwise, you're a poser and you're fake. You're a fraud.
I'm trying to think what's... Oh, I do have a favorite song and it has always been...
Ed Sheeran Lego House song?
No, it's...
Let's build a Lego house. What's going on?
Wait, my brain just kind of like... I mixed up the Elvis Presley one and the Four Seasons one together. Cause, yeah, but I wanted to say, can't take my eyes off of you.
I can't help falling in love.
Yeah, I mixed both of those songs in my head, but basically one of those two. But I like the Four Seasons. Ooh, or actually ABBA.
ABBA.
I Have a Dream by ABBA.
Yeah.
That's a good shout, too.
I like their song that's like, we're no strangers to love.
That's not ABBA.
And they're like, never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you
not ABBA, babe.
Run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. That one. You know that song? Never gonna give.
First,
never gonna
it's
give.
Not ABBA.
Never gonna give.
Okay.
Gonna give.
Okay. Gosh.
Rickrolled favorite this podcast.
Favorite video game of all time?
The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild for the Nintendo Switch.
And a place that you would like to visit that you've never been
India.
To before. No, that you've never been to before.
Oh. I'm trying to get to India, man. Just let me in. Let me in. I really want to go to Italy. It's like top of the bucket list. Like, hands down, I want to go to Italy more than anywhere else in the world other than India at the moment.
Okay, last question of this rapid fire round, and then we'll get back to your life.
Oh,
okay?
My life.
Okay. Who is your favorite sibling? And remember, they're going to listen to
pass.
This.
Which
no.
I'll say.
Have to answer.
Okay. I'll say them. Whichever one gives me the best birthday gift this year.
Okay. That's a fair answer. That's a fair answer.
So we'll update you after October 31st.
That's all for now. Tune in next time for part 2 as we get to know Adrian a little better. You can follow us on our social media accounts so that you get updates whenever we post a new episode. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.